Good morning, everybody. Good morning. So I am so excited to be here. I haven't been able to teach for you guys in quite a while. But before we start, kiddos, adults, whoever wants to listen to me, can you stand up for me? We're going to pray before we start because we can't have a lesson without Jesus. And we have to invite him into this place. So I would like everybody to close their eyes because we don't want to be distracted by anybody around us. And we're going to lift our faces up to Jesus. And we are going to raise both hands really big. And we are going to use our playground voices. And we're going to ask Jesus to come into this place. Can you do that with me? Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to be in this place, Lord God. I just pray in the name of Jesus that your presence be here, Jesus. Open up our hearts and our minds, Lord God, to get everything out of this that you need. Lord God, that this may be fun, it may be exciting, but at the end, Lord God, your word is in our hearts, Lord, and we leave here filled and changed by your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes. So, I have two different things to do with you today, okay? This is my first one. One bottle is filled with what? It's kind of hard to see. There's a liquid in there, but what is it if it's clear? Water. And this one is filled with styrofoam beads. Thank you. This bottle represents us. Can you say us? And it is full of stuff that can get in the way. And this bottle, who do you think is going to represent? Jesus. There we go. Caitlin said, God, that's all the same. And we want Jesus to come into what? Our hearts and get rid of all of that stuff. Because if there's no room for Jesus, he has no way to stay, right? So we have to repent. We have to ask God to clean out our hearts. And in Ephesians 3:17, it says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. But you have to have room. So God comes down, right? I have to figure this out where I don't spill a big bunch of it. There we go. God comes down, and all of the stuff slowly starts to go up and out of us. It makes more room for Jesus, and it slowly takes that away. As we repent, as we tell Jesus we're sorry, he slowly takes all of that stuff away, and he makes room for us. Even look at the bottom. There's more water, and if I had a bigger bottle, it would keep going. And all those beads would be gone, and there'd be plenty of room for who? For Jesus. The exciting part is when we make room for Jesus to live in our hearts, we get a clean heart. Psalms 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. So when we repent, we get that clean heart, everything's out of the way, God can come in and fill us with what? The Holy Ghost. And how do you know you have the Holy Ghost? You speak in tongues, yes. So when you do that, there's something exciting that happens. When we want to clean something, what do we use? Soap. You could use Windex, but soap for this purpose. So you pour in a little soap because we want to clean it out, right? This bottle represents us again, okay? I'm going to do it in both of them. Okay, but the exciting part is when you have God in us, we can do big and exciting things. But you have to kind of activate that. What are different ways we can activate God in our lives? What could we do? What did we do right before we started our lesson? We prayed. What else could you do? Read your Bible. What do we do before service when they sing up here? What is that called? Worship. This is all different ways to activate Jesus inside of your heart. And when you activate him, you pour in that prayer. You pour in that worship. You do all that in faith, right? Because you have to have faith. And it says in John 7:38, now that is great, or he has... He that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living what? Water. But if we want water to flow, can it stay inside? No, it has to come out, right? And if we want it to come out, you have to pour in that prayer and that faith and that worship. And when that mixes with everything you need, I'm going to do two different ones here just in case. Sometimes it takes a while, and I don't want to not pay attention to it. But we want God to activate something in us, to make some bubbles, right? Because when stuff overflows, we don't keep it to ourselves. We give it to who? To Jesus, to other people. We start to talk to people about Jesus, and they start to see it because it doesn't stay inside. And we want God to have his way in everything we do. And when you have room, it's easy to do that. This one might make a bigger mess. Hold on. Yeah, there we go. Sometimes it takes some time, right? Does God activate right away? No. Sometimes patience is really hard, right? Sometimes patience takes a while. But when God comes out of us, he does great things. When God comes out of us, it keeps going. The more you pour into it, the more that God gives you and the more that God lets out of you for other people, right? We want God to fill us with his spirit. We want our heart to have room for him. Because even as I'm talking, it keeps going. And guess what? I could walk away and come back, and that's still going to keep going. When you talk to somebody about Jesus, parents, when you talk to your kids about Jesus, and you stop talking and you walk away for a little bit, they remember that. And it keeps going. And it keeps making more of what sometimes we think is a mess. Sometimes we think it's a little much. But others around us who don't have Jesus see it in us. This bottle is little, right? Yes. Is this bottle bigger? Yes. So this one's little. Just because you are a kid, just because you're little, doesn't mean Jesus can't do great things in you. It doesn't mean that Jesus can't expand in you and use you. A good example is Isaiah. He goes to work with his mommy and daddy. And guess what? His mommy and daddy work with my grandpa. I'm going to cry. He doesn't listen to what I have to say about Jesus. But he loves Isaiah and he listens to every word he says. And Isaiah always says, Big Jim's going to come to church. Big Jim's going to come to Jesus. And I 100% believe it. It's going to be through our kids. I grew up, I gave him a lot of trouble. My grandpa raised me, for those that don't know. But I think because of Isaiah, because of my children, he's going to come to Jesus. And because of that, we as parents need to remember that our children can have a huge impact. Yeah. That you guys know that just because you're little doesn't mean that God can't use you for greater things. So before I close, I would like everybody to stand up again. And I want our kiddos to stand up as well. And if you have anything in your hands, let's put it down. And we're going to pray again. But this time, instead of asking God to come into this place, because he is already here, we're going to ask God to clean out our hearts like that first lesson showed us. We're going to say, God, I'm sorry for the things that were in my way. We're going to clean out our heart. We're going to make room for him so that when you pray and you worship today, God can work in you and God can make a bigger explosion of him and God can show others who he is through you. So we're going to do those four steps again because there's more people. I'm going to explain it again and there's more kiddos. We're going to close our eyes and not get distracted by those around us. We're going to lift our face because when we talk to people, we want to look at them. And I don't know about you, but I know my God is much bigger than me. So I have to look up to him. And that third step is going to be to raise our hands to surrender. Plus, when we're kids and we get hurt, what do we want a lot of the times? We want mom or dad to pick us up. And we want to raise our hands and show Jesus we want him to pick us up. because he's our Father and he wants to be there for us. And then we're going to use those playground voices because God cannot use your voice unless you're willing to use it first. Okay? So I want both hands real big. We're going to close our eyes and we're going to ask Jesus for today, for this service, for the kids and for the adults, to open up their hearts and their minds and receive what he has for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity today. I thank you, God, that no matter what, it works in your way, Jesus. I pray just like our lesson, God, you clean out our hearts, Lord Jesus. Anything that was a distraction from the week, Lord God, whether it was school or work, in the name of Jesus, that it be gone, it be loosed in this place, Lord Jesus, that your peace and your presence be here, Lord God. I pray for an open heart, Lord God, to feel you, and an open mind and ears to hear your word today, Lord Jesus, that no matter how big or how small we are, Lord God, that you are here and you are here for us, Lord Jesus. And we want to give you all the honor and all the praise today, Lord Jesus. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Praise the Lord, church. It's such a great feeling in the house this morning. It has just been an awesome, awesome week here at Calvary Gospel Church. How many of you noticed our new roof when you came in? I am so excited. I never thought I'd be so excited about a piece of tin, but I am. And then, of course, the fellowship hall is still, we've got that section of the building closed off, but our carpet is going in. It's about halfway finished. It'll be finished by next weekend, and we're looking forward to getting our Sunday school started back up. You could be seated this morning, and So, like, if you're a guest of ours, I just want to welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. It's so great to have you here. If you're visiting with us online, it's so great to have you visiting with us here at today on this beautiful Sunday. If you'd like to take and give, we have some giving options. So if you're worshiping here in person, you can just drop off in the kiosk. There's a offering box out there. And then there's various methods of, you can read there on the screen how you can take and give. Also, we're in the middle of our Mother's Memorial season, and some of you may wonder what Mother's Memorial is. We sponsor a little over 100 missionaries here at Calvary Gospel Church, and of course they're scattered all over the globe. And what Mother's Memorial is that's a fundraiser kind of driven by our ladies' ministries, to where that we raise funds for, it covers appliances, things like that. I think we just had Wednesday evening, we had missionaries here, the Brainos, and Sister Brainos, I think, did a great job explaining exactly what Mother's Memorial does for them. And wasn't that a good message Brother Brainos preached on Wednesday evening? It was perfect. Very excited about that, and what we're looking to do here at Calvary Gospel Church, we're going to be starting up a season of what we're calling connection. We talked about reconnecting, resetting. Now we're looking at reconnecting with one another and reconnecting back with our community. COVID has just kind of put a lot of things on hold and pushed a lot of things off and put the brakes on a lot of things. But I'm excited about what God is doing. And Brother Brainos' message on Wednesday evening about coffee shop connections, basically, was so right on for where we are and where God is seeking to take us. So with that, Brother Jerry Simmons is our outreach pastor, and I'm so very excited to have Brother Jerry Simmons as our outreach pastor. He's an awesome guy. And Brother Jerry, just stand, Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry's going to be speaking Wednesday evening, and what Brother Brainos started on Wednesday talking about connections, Brother Jerry is going to bring that a little bit closer to home so that we can, he's going to present to you and to present to us a ministry that we're looking to get everyone involved in, and talk about connection groups, and he's going to kind of bring that home to our level where we are. I mean, Brother Brainos talked about how it worked in France. We're going to talk about how we're looking to have this work right here in Madison, Wisconsin. So Brother Jerry will be speaking on Wednesday evening concerning that. So I'm excited about that. With that, it's great to have Brother Aaron Wright here. He just stepped out, but so great to have Brother Aaron Wright here preaching for us this morning. And we had a get-together last evening, and he spoke to a number of our younger men in ministry, and it just had a great time of fellowship, and I appreciate his ministry and his willingness to invest in us, and I appreciate that. So let's all stand. We're going to just start this service off in prayer. Once again, if you're a guest of ours, it's so great to have you here visiting with us. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost that we feel in this place today. Lord, you have something for each and every one of us, whether we're here in person, whether we're watching online. God, I pray, Lord, that the power of the Holy Ghost, your Spirit, would reach into our hearts, would reach into our minds, into our soul, into our core being, Lord, and move us and touch us and lead us, guide us, and direct us through worship and through ministry today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated, remain standing. Who would like to worship? But God bless you.
Lord, we pray your kingdom come. Lord, we pray your will be done. Every eye behold the one seated high upon the throne.
Everything changes.
Church, there's such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. And so great to be in the house of the Lord today. Received a call last night from Brother Jay Henry. He is in Texas getting ready for his wedding this coming Saturday. Brother Hawk and myself will be going down there along with Brother Glenn and Sister Kitty Rossing. So just pray for us as we travel. Pray for Brother Jay Henry, because he has no idea what he's in for when we get there. Brother Hawk asked me if I would help him roast Brother Jay. So Brother Jay, if you're watching this morning, get ready. So great to have Brother Aaron right here this morning. A couple years ago, a number of our men came back from Man Up Adventures, and they're like, you got to get this guy Aaron Wright here to preach. And Brother Carl, my nephew, was all excited because he had met Aaron, and then Brother Jerry Simmons went to Bible school with Brother Aaron. It's just an honor to have a good friend. We become good friends. We talk, text, all of that good stuff back and forth from time to time. I don't know what it's all called anymore, because it's all just changes, you know. Anyway, I'm old school. He's not quite so old school. So we love you, Brother Aaron. God bless you. Come preach to us this morning.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. I am thankful to be here. I'm thankful for what I feel, and I'm excited to preach what I feel God has spoken to me this morning for this church. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Numbers chapter 22, verse 1 is where I will begin to read, and then I will jump over to Nehemiah 13, verse 1 and 2. But we will start at Numbers chapter 22. Pastor Grant, I give you and Sister Grant high honor. I absolutely love your pastor and his lovely wife. How many of you love your pastor and his wife? Come on, somebody. Amen, amen. I love going over to the koi pond, and every time I'm over there, I am tempted to jump in and just take a swim in that thing. It looks so inviting. Unfortunately, every time I've been here, it's been in like late September, and now, you know, it's still pretty chilly out there, so I have foregone that, but every time I'm over there, their hospitality, their care for me is second to none, and so I love your pastor and his wife, and also Bishop Grant. I'm thankful for his vision and for his years of service and sacrifice in this church and in this city. Amen. How many of you have been impacted by Bishop Grant? Amen. We give him high honor in this house today. And I'm thankful all the men from Man Up Adventures. We love you, appreciate you, my good friends. I just seen them walk in from Iowa, Eric and Stacy Cleveland. I'm thankful for them. Amen. Numbers chapter 22, verse 1. How many are ready to read the word of the Lord this morning? Amen. That was a little weak, but well, I guess we'll take it. Amen. How many of you are ready to hear from the word of the Lord this morning? Amen. Numbers chapter 22, verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward. Everybody say they set forward. That word set forward, when you look it up, it essentially is saying that the children of Israel were getting ready to advance forward. They were reaching down at this moment, and they were taking the tent stakes that held the walls of their tent up, and they were pulling up their tent stakes because they knew they were getting ready to advance into the promised land that God had promised them. Amen. And so the children of Israel in this text, they were set forward. They were getting ready to advance. Amen. They were getting ready to advance, and they pitched into plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done unto the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people. Amen. I talked to the men last night at Pastor's house, and I said, there are two revelations that you have to have in your walk with God. The first revelation is you need to understand how God sees you. Amen. You are the son of God. You are the daughter of God. You are his child. Amen. He loves you with an everlasting love. He has called you. He has placed his spirit. God is on your side. Amen. God wants you to succeed. And so we have to understand that. But the second revelation that each and every one of us need to have is the revelation of how our adversary sees us. Amen. God isn't the only one that has faith in you. I'm here to tell you, your adversary has faith in you. Amen. Your adversary knows that if you're just faithful to what God tells you to do, you're going to do and accomplish everything, amen, God has called you to do. And so in this scripture, as Israel is getting ready to set forward, they're getting ready to advance. The repercussions of that was Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was the king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people that is come up out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, and curse me this people. For watch this. Here is the revelation. Here is the revelation that Moab had of the children of Israel before the children of Israel even tangled with Moab. He says this, for they are too mighty for me. They are too strong for me. Peradventure, I prevail that we may smite them, that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blesseth is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. Nehemiah 13:1, on that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Why? Because verse 2 says, they met not the children of Israel with bread and water, but they hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. Now watch the last part of this. It says, howbeit our God turned the curse. Come on, somebody. Are you with me this morning? Hey, I have plowed before, and I'm not afraid to drop the plow and go digging, but I wish to God that I could start with about 50 to 75 people right off the bat that is with me in the beginning. Amen. The word says that God turned the curse into a blessing. Amen. That God took the devil's attempts to destroy God's people, and he turned it around and brought it to be a blessing to God's people. I want to preach to you with the help of God a word that he has given me, and I'm trying to put context to that word and a title, and if I did, I'd preach this, set forward. Set forward. Amen. Would you set your Bibles down? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? And I would love it if this entire church would begin to cry out to God and ask for his anointing to be upon us this morning. Jesus, come on, would you lift your voice? Jesus, I need you. I love you. I'm thankful for what I feel. Lord, your presence, the reality of your presence is here. You're here to strengthen your people. You're here to speak a word into your people's minds, their lives, God. You're here to bless your people. I pray for the unction of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that fell on me back in March 25th and began to talk to me about this church and these people, Lord. I pray for that anointing and that unction to come back over me, God, and let me to preach with boldness. Let me preach with the authority and the Spirit, I pray. I pray that after this morning is all said and done, that there will be a supernatural shift, a supernatural change in the spirit realm here in Madison, Wisconsin. I pray that before today is done, God, that you would reach down and you would, Lord, deflect every lie from hell. Lord, that you would take the adversary's attempts to, Lord, weaken your people, Lord, and to set your people back. And, Lord, you would turn it around for, Lord, the good of your people. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you today. And everybody says, in Jesus' name. Come on, would you clap your hands one more time to the Lord? Amen. Why don't you air high five somebody and tell them Jesus is awesome as you're finding a place to sit down. One of the most outstanding turnaround stories in the entire Bible is located between the 14th chapter of Exodus and the 15th chapter. In chapter 14, it's depicting Israel in an impossible situation where God has led his people out of Egypt and down what seems to be a dead-end street, as it were. The Red Sea is in front of them, and the Egyptian armies have closed in behind them. Chapter 14 depicts the story of a no outlet. Has anybody ever just driven down a road and you realize that the road was a dead end, that there was no outlet? Amen. That is what chapter 14 is depicting. The story of God's people at a dead end street. But then as you turn the page from chapter 14 to chapter 15, there is a new story that is being written. A new song, in fact, is literally being sang in the very first chapters or verses of chapter 15. God and his people have gone from murmuring against God and complaining to now they're literally singing God's praises. Isn't it amazing how One moment, God's people were trembling in fear as the Egyptians were in heavy pursuit upon them. And then the very next moment, they watch as the man of God takes his staff and he stretches it out over the Red Sea. And the waters that were standing in the vertical position now come collapsing back down into their original state, submersing the most powerful army of that day. What a difference just one chapter can make. What a difference just one turn of the page, so to speak, could make in our lives. The difference between these two chapters really is outstanding. On this side of the Red Sea, they were murmuring and complaining against God and Moses, saying that it would have been better for us to die or to be slaves and in bondage in Egypt than to come out and die in this wilderness. On this side of the Red Sea, they were trembling and full of fear because of the advancing armies of Egypt. But then on the other side of the Red Sea, they are found singing songs of praises to God because they watched and they witnessed God's mighty hand collapse the waters of the Red Sea and destroy their adversary in the moment of time, in the blink of an eye. Their adversary that was in pursuit and looked like it had the upper hand on them is now vanquished and submersed into the Red Sea. I've heard it said like this many times: they sang the right song, but on the wrong side of the Red Sea. Wonder what would have happened if they could have sung their song of victory on this side of the Red Sea, not the other side of the Red Sea. Wonder what would happen if they would have praised God for his deliverance before they were delivered. Listen, I learned last night at the campfire that if I preach less than 30 minutes, I will receive 100% of my pay. But if I go over 30 minutes, if I go over 30 minutes, my pay becomes reduced. And so can I just cut to the chase this morning and let me just preach to you what I know God is speaking to this church. There is something about being on this side of your breakthrough that messes with us. There's something about being on this side of your victory that messes with our minds. If we were to be honest, it feels like at this point in the juncture that God led us out, amen, but then God led us down a one-way street, and at the end of the street is a dead end. And if that's not bad enough, it is generally at a dead end street where your adversary comes up behind you and he takes in an impossible situation and he makes it even more impossible. There's something about this picture right here that messes with us. The journey that started out with great faith. The journey that started out with great confidence. When Israel came out of Egypt, you hear me this morning, there was no doubt in anybody's mind, not one person in Egypt and not one person in Israel, that this was a God thing. Amen. That when God delivered Israel from Egypt, it was 100% a God thing, and God was doing the work. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning because you can remember what it was like when God first started talking to you. You can remember what it was like when God first filled you with the Holy Ghost. You can remember what it was like when God first called you to preach, when God first anointed you into the ministry, when God first spoke into your life. You can recall that you were 100% convinced without a shadow of a doubt. You knew that you were called. You knew that God was on your side. You knew the favor of God was upon you. Amen. Only later on in your journey
to find yourself questioning whether or not you ever heard from God. Only later on in your journey, your walk with God, to find yourself doubting your ability to hear from God. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because now you're at a dead end. There's a dead end, no outlet in front of you. And now your adversary has advanced behind you. You see, it's on this side where the spirit of confusion begins to work on God's people the most. Can I tell you what the spirit of confusion is and how the spirit of confusion will war at God's people? This is what the spirit of confusion will do. He will take an exclamation mark and he will turn it into a question mark. He will take you from believing in the oneness of God and doctrines of baptism and then filling of the Holy Ghost. And next thing you know, you're starting to question, does it really matter? What did the serpent say to Eve? Hath God said, did he really say what you thought he said? And he begins to take an exclamation mark and turn it around into a question mark. And before you know it, when you're at a dead-end street and the enemy is behind you, you start thinking thoughts like, maybe I didn't really hear from God. Maybe I'm really not called after all. Maybe I don't have what it takes like I thought I had what it took. I repeat, there's something about being on this side of our breakthrough that messes with us. Living on this side of our miracle. Living and walking with God on this side of our victory. Believing God on this side of your unanswered prayer. When you're on this side, your vision is blurred because all you can see is a dead end in front of you and the enemy behind you. No matter where you look, you are surrounded. No matter where you look, it's a dead end. No matter how hard you try, you can't seem to find a way because there is no way. It was on March 25th, this past month, March, that I was in my sanctuary trying to figure out how I was going to arrange the seats to accommodate an Easter service crowd. As I was with my tape measure, measuring out the seats and trying to figure out the best pattern, it was then that the Spirit of God moved upon me so heavily, and this church came to my mind, and I began to feel after the Lord for this church. I text Pastor Grant at that time, and I said, I delete everybody's text messages rather quick, so I don't know exactly how it went, but this is what I know. I said, I am hearing some chit-chat in the Spirit right now. And I like what I'm hearing. When God moved upon me, I knew two things emphatically. The first thing I knew was your adversary was scrambling in panic, trying to find out ways to destroy you. The first thing I knew was your adversary was trying to vaunt himself against you to make you feel like you're in an impossible situation. And the second thing that I knew emphatically was God is about ready to turn the pages and take you from chapter 14, amen, and introduce you to chapter 15. That God is getting ready, amen, to take you from an impossible situation to the other side of the barrier. Amen. God is getting ready to do something for this church. And as a man, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Your pastor and I don't really engage in many conversations with him about where you're at. And so as a man, I'm speaking blindly. But I know what I felt in my church. I know what came over me in my spirit. And I want to preach a word of faith this morning to this congregation, to this ministry staff. God is getting ready to turn a page. Amen. For this church. God is getting ready to work in an impossible situation. God is getting ready to do what nobody thought God can do. This entire time, Egypt is pursuing Israel. In this entire time, Israel now is shaking in their boots. It seems like Egypt has the upper hand on Israel. But then all of a sudden, God speaks to the man of God and gives him an instructions and says, stretch your hand forth over the sea and over the water. And immediately the power of God begins to flow and makes a way where there is no way. Amen. And I want to tell you that the very moment your adversary thinks for 1 second that he has the upper hand, that he has the last say, that is the moment where God just gets started. Here in Exodus 14, Egypt thought that they had the upper hand, and all of a sudden God steps in and says, psych, just teasing, just playing, amen. I'm just getting ready to do something new, amen. I'm getting ready to confound your adversaries. And here Israel thought that it was a dead end street. But the truth of the matter was, it was just God setting up the stage, amen, so that God could show himself powerful in the lives of his people. I come to debunk the lies of hell this morning. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's not a dead-end street. It's just a setup. God didn't lead Israel to the Red Sea to destroy them. He led Israel into the Red Sea to destroy their adversary. It was God's plan from the very beginning. Come on, God knew exactly what he did and what he was doing. Amen. God was in control the whole time. I come to tell you today, it might feel like you've been out of control and you've lost control and you can't make sense of what's going on, but I promise you, amen, God has it in his hands. God is going to work on your behalf. God is going to bring you out of the impossible. Amen. God is just setting the stage so he can slip in and he can flex his muscles on your behalf. And I feel like doing a little boasting in the Lord this morning. Amen. I feel like doing a little bragging this morning. We have bragging rights. I would like to think, amen, about the power of God. We serve a God, Pastor Grant, that specializes, literally that is his specialty. He specializes in taking the attacks of our adversary that were designed to destroy us and reversing it around and sending it back to us in the form of a blessing. That's why 1 Corinthians 2:6-8 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Watch what verse 8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, if the adversary knew that by lifting up Jesus on the cross, he would draw all men unto himself, he would have never lifted up that cross. If the adversary would have known that that crown of thorns that pierced the head of Jesus, amen, would open up a dispensation where 2,000 years later, you and I could have power and peace in our mind, amen, he would have never done it, amen. But that is the God we serve. He takes the devil's attempts to destroy us, and he turns it into a blessing for us. This morning, I pray that somebody gets a revelation for your situation. Somebody gets a revelation for your life. Amen. The attempts of the adversary to destroy you. You trust in God. He's going to turn it around to bless you. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have ever found yourself in an impossible situation and all you could do was say, God, I'm going to trust you. And before you know it, he made a way out of where there seemed to be no way. Amen. He made water to flow out of a rock. He turned the bitter waters into sweet waters. All of a sudden, God steps onto the scene. And when it's all said and done, you're like, oh my Lord, you're amazing. And you begin to sing your song of victory like they did in Exodus 15. Come on, let's clap our hands and give him praise for just a moment.
When I was in my sanctuary and God began to move upon my spirit and talk to me about this church, but not just this church, but the leadership staff also. There were some specifics that he put on my spirit. And I want to say it like this. The reason this current season this church has been in is so taxing upon your faith and so taxing upon your spirit is because there is no frame of reference for you to compare it to. You see, by default, your pastor's a visionary, but not only that, he's a trailblazer. God is anointing him and this church not to follow the cookie cutter patterns, but to blaze a new path, to blaze a new trail. Brother Grant, you're a trailblazer, and I thank God for that. When you blaze a new path, there is no frame of reference for you to look back and say, oh, here and this and that, and put the pieces of the puzzle together. Because it's a new path. It was in my sanctuary where I began to pray for this church and for your pastor. And I recalled in my mind right there the story of Chuck Yeager as he began and attempted to break the sound barrier. It was on October 14th, 1947 when he boarded his plane with what I understand to be correct is two broken ribs because he fell. And he shut the hatch of his airplane. There were many questions surrounding this attempt to fly faster than the speed of sound. Others had attempted to accomplish this, but they failed due to what seemed was the inability to fly at subsonic speeds. In his interviews years later, Yeager made this comment. He said this, nobody knew what would happen at the speed of sound because we didn't have any data to draw from the testing in the wind tunnels. He said every time we would simulate breaking the speed of sound, a shock wave would appear on the wings and it would go back and it would deflect off the wall, causing them not to be able to replicate what it would truly be like at that barrier breakthrough. As the plane would reach the speed of sound, the shock wave, that white cloud that begins to form on the nose of the plane and the wings, at that moment, it would cause the plane to rattle and to shake. The noise levels would be deafening. One report said that the closer you got to the sound barrier, are you hearing me this morning? The closer you got to the breakthrough, the closer you got to accomplishing what God has called you to do, the closer you got to having the promises of God fulfilled in your life. They said it was like the plane was falling apart. No one even knew at that time whether or not one could survive on the other side of the barrier. In October 14th, 1947, without any frame of reference, Chuck Yeager approached the speed of sound with the same results that they had in the past, or the same sensation of rattling and the sound they had in the past, only this time with different results. On this side of the barrier, amen, the plane was noisy and shaking. Amen. On this side of the sound barrier, there was uncertainty and fear. On this side of the sound barrier, there was no frame of reference that you could get your mind in the focus. It was a leap of faith. It was just, I got to do what I got to do. On this side of the sound barrier, it was as if life was falling apart. But then all of a sudden, as a supersonic boom took place on the other side of the sound barrier, amen, that shaking went away. The noise level disappeared. Amen. And now the flight was smooth.
This monument, it was monumental. History was made. But today, Brother Jerry, guess what? Today, it ain't no thing. One time I was hunting in the woods, in the mountains, and all of a sudden I saw a Boeing 747 coming down the valley, and boom, it busted the sound barrier. I'm kidding, that didn't happen. But today, it ain't no thing. You can go to an air show on any given day, and all of a sudden you can watch as here it comes, boom, and it breaks the speed of sound, and the subsonic boom takes place. And what was impossible before because of one man willing to stay in the driver's seat, one man willing to stay, amen, at the wheel, one man willing to say, you know what, I'm going to risk it all. Now people are following the same path with the same results. You see, that's why hell has been coming against this church in unproportionate measures and matters. That's why a lot of you have felt a pressure, amen, even since the last time I was here in September. Hell is doing everything it can to cause you to fall apart. But I'm here to preach this morning. You're not going to fall apart. You're going to stay in the seat. You're going to keep the pedal to the metal. And guess what? God is going to flip the pages and take you into chapter 15. Somebody clap your hands and believe God for what I'm preaching to you this morning. I took my younger brother hunting in the mountains of Pennsylvania. There's anywhere from maybe 6 to 10 inches of snow. And I knew where I wanted to go. I wanted to go about a mile and a half back through the mountain where I knew some bedding of the deer would bed down and they would hide out. And when I parked, I knew that there was already a little trail off to the left that I could walk. But I said, you know what? I'm going to blaze a new trail, and I'm going to take a shortcut. Well, about 50 yards into the woods, going a shortcut, blazing a new trail, we ran into what is called the Pennsylvania Mountain Laurel. Mountain Laurel is a plant, a bush. It's a cursed thing. It is wretched. It is God's punishment upon mankind. And it grows anywhere from ground all the way up to 10 feet, 12 feet tall in some cases. And it is as thick as a jungle. And with snow hanging over every branch and inches of snow on the mountain laurel, I begin to take my brother through this new trail. And as I was going through the new trail, I was literally, Brother Jerry, I tripped under a mountain laurel branch under the snow, and I fell face first into more mountain laurel. My good idea now turned into a questionable idea. My brother behind me, he's just rattling his mouth. This is stupid, he says. This is dumb. I'm done hunting. I hate the mountains. I hate Pennsylvania. I hate the snow. Can we go home? And I'm laughing because he's my younger brother and I like to see him in that circumstance. But after 30 minutes of climbing over branches, falling on branches, climbing under branches, having snow fall off branches and go down your neck, I thought to myself, this is a dumb idea. I took him out and I dropped him off and I went down the ridge a little bit and I went up into my tree stand and I came down to get him and a deer had crossed in between us. I could see its path, brand new fresh tracks. And I was like, why didn't he shoot? And I walk over there and I'm looking at him like, Christopher, Christopher. And he's down over the hill. This ain't no joke. So I yelled, Christopher. I said, Christopher. I'm yelling. And I'm thinking, my God, I killed him. He's dead. He had a heart attack. I take off running down the hill because now I'm in panic. My tree stand slams into a tree. And all of a sudden, his fluffy head goes. I'm like, did you see the deer? What deer? I'm like, bum, I should leave you out here. On the way home, he said something that made me so proud. It made me so proud, like I accomplished my big brother duties. This is what he said to me. On the way down off the mountain, he said, man, a piece of me died up there on the mountain today. He said, a piece of me died on the mountain while we were blazing a new trail. You know why your pastor is so successful and the ministry staff and this church is so successful? It's because you're willing to die to do what God's called you to do. You're willing to lay it all on the line to be a trailblazer in God's kingdom. Come on, somebody. Don't ever lose that ability to risk everything you have to do what God has called you to do. Musicians, join me. How long did I just preach? Probably 10 minutes, right? The scripture that God put on my heart when I was in the sanctuary was the one that I read to you. And it says in Numbers 22, verse 1, it says, and the children of Israel, say it with me, they set forward. In other words, they were getting ready to advance into the promises God had for their lives. Let's all stand in this house today. They were literally, Sister Grant, the picture is as they were reaching down and they were grabbing their tent stakes and pulling them out of the ground, allowing the walls of their tent to collapse, and then they would fold them up and they were getting ready to move forward. And watch this. Just by reaching down and picking up the tent stakes, just by positioning themselves to move forward, when the adversary saw that, fear struck them. And the Bible says the king of Moabite, the Moabites, was sore afraid. A sword wasn't even pulled out of the sheath. Matter of fact, you read it. They were supposed to go around and not even touch the Moabites because the Moabites were descendants of Lot, Abraham's nephew. In other words, they were a backslidden portion of Abraham. They had no intentions to do anything to Moab, but just by getting ready to advance, there's a scramble in the enemy's camp. You hearing me? Just by positioning yourself to do what God has called you to do causes your adversary to begin to scramble with fear. You know what? He didn't care when the tent stakes were dug into the ground and they weren't mobile. He didn't care when they were camped out, not moving forward, not doing anything. But the moment somebody said, you know what? I'm tired of being stagnant. I'm tired of sitting in one place. I'm tired of seeing this little bit of revival. I'm tired of the, I'm going to advance to where God has called me to go. All of a sudden, the adversary gets riled up. You know what COVID has done? Besides try to creep in the church and bring the troubled waters of the world into the church and bring racism into the church and bring hatred into the church and all kinds of division into the church. Besides that, you know what COVID did? I've talked to many, many pastors since last July when I started traveling again in evangelism. And the story is the same across the board. The story's the same. They will tell you, anybody that was on the fringes in their walk with God, anybody that was in a stagnant state of spirituality, anybody that was lukewarm in their walk with God, they drifted away from God. But everybody that was in tune with God's spirit, Everybody, amen, that put God first in their life, instead of getting weaker, they got stronger and stronger and stronger. Let me give you a comparison between the two. When we had to get locked up and we had to go live on the internet, those that were on the fringes, they would roll out of bed at 9:59 in their pajamas. They would come in and they'd get their coffee. They would sit on the couch in their pajamas and they would yawn through the service. A lot of them never even watched the service. A lot of them are still affected by their dead spiritual state. But those people that were on hungry and on fire for God, you know what? They would wake up and they would be at pre-service prayer at 9:30 in their living room. They would have their kids all dressed up and ready to go. When the worship team would begin to play, guess what? They were in their living room standing and worshiping. When pastor would preach from the pulpit via the video, amen, they were amen in their pastor. They were texting their pastor. They were preaching with their pastor. I'm making a call for two things today. Whether you're listening online or this is your first service back, I have no idea. But you hear Brother Aaron today, with all the love and the passion that I have inside of me, now is not the day to play church. Now's not the day to be going through the motions and live in a spiritual, complacent, lukewarm state. Come on, somebody. Now's not the day. If there was ever a day for you to do what God's called you to do, it is right here and right now, today. Now is a day for you to be on fire for God. Now's the day for you, amen, to walk with passion and to walk with authority in your walk with God. Now's the day to be on fire. I'm reaching into the heart of this church and I'm calling for everybody, amen, who is lukewarm, everybody who has drifted in your walk with God, and I'm preaching, get up to this altar as soon as you can. You find a place of prayer. You pray the spirit of this world off of you. You pray complacency off of you. You pray the attitudes of this world off of you. Get back to where you're on fire for Jesus. It's been a long time since some of you have spoken in tongues and let the power of God flow over you. I can discern it. I've looked in enough eyes right now to discern those that are struggling, those that are lukewarm, those that your fire has gone out. Hear the preacher. I'm not trying to be mean. Amen. But heaven is hot. And listen, our time is short. It's not time to play games in your walk with God. It's not time to drift spiritually. Come on. If there's conviction on your heart, don't wait for me to give the official altar call. You come up here and find a place of prayer right now. Come on. If it's a matter of social distancing, come up to this altar. Bury your face in the carpet on these steps. Bury your face into the sheet and get back to a passion where you're in love and on fire for Jesus.
It may be formed, but it won't prosper.
Thank you, praise team, for being on cue. Come on. Come on, somebody. If you're listening online and you haven't come back to church, sometimes there are good reasons, but if you have a reason, you need to be talking to your pastor about it. Amen. But if you don't have a reason, amen, if you can go to Walmart, you should be able to come to church. If you can go into the grocery store, my God, you should be able to come to church. Now I reach into the heart of every faithful saint. I reach into the heart of every prayer warrior. I reach into the heart of everybody that's not died out in your walk with God. Amen. You stay the course. God's getting ready to turn the pages in your life. God's getting ready to have a breakthrough in your life. Praise team, go ahead. Lift up your voices. Every hand raised right now. Every voice lifted right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. I pray the spirit of revival back into your spirit. When oh, lift up your voice.
Falls, it won't breathe it. Cause the God I serve knows only how to try.
Come on, lift up your voice. Come on, let the Spirit of God begin to flow through you. Pray the lukewarm spirit out of your heart.
I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory.
Come on, that's it, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Come on, the Rebbe,
shut up. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, come.
Belongs to you, Lord. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win.
Right now, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not
Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, press. Come on, press.
Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Now in Jesus' name.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory.
Come on, go ahead, somebody. Go ahead, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I'm gonna see.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. The weapon may be formed, but it won't
prosper. The hunger of the Lord to be upon us today.
When the darkness falls, it won't be there. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail.
Some of you are holding back. Some of you are holding back. Come on, that's the spirit of this world. That's complacency. Break free from the complacency right now. Come on, reach up with everything that's inside of you. Let the power of God strengthen you.
I'm not backing down from any giants. I know how this goes.
Come on, reach down. Pick up those 10 stakes. Come on, pick up those 10 stakes right now.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I'm not going to let my flame die out. I'm not going to let the fire of the Holy Ghost die out. Come on, I'm going to turn it up.
take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good.
Come on, somebody.
You turn it
I wonder
for
if we
good.
Can sing the right song on the right side.
You take what
why don't
the
you begin to lift up your voice
evil,
right now and declare
and
His promise. Declare His victory. Declare His provision.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. The battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Going to sing this again. They're going to start right off where they just left off. Start up where they left off. But this is what I want. I want everybody to look at Brother Aaron right now. Come on, every eye is looking at me. This is what I want. I want this entire congregation, if you're physically able to stand to your feet. If not, don't do it. No pressure. But if you're physically able to stand to your feet, if you have a voice that you can lift up to heaven, if you have just the smallest measure of faith, I want you to lift up your voice, and I want you not just sing. I want to be able to hear the sanctuary louder than I can hear the praise singers. And I want you to declare God's victory in your life. Come on, every attack from hell that has been upon you, upon your finances, upon your marriage, amen, upon your life. I want you to say, devil, God's about ready to work. God's about ready to bring me out. God's about ready to do something big in my life. Lift up your voice right now. Declare it in the name of Jesus. Come on, declare it with a loud voice. Declare it with a great faith. Come on, I want to hear you sing right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus, sing it. Sing the right song on the right side. Come on, some of you are still praying with a little bit of faith. Let your faith go. Amen. Tell the adversary, get your hands off of my family. Get your hands off of my life. Get your hands out of my marriage. Devil, God's about ready to bring me through. God's about ready to break me through the barrier.
You take what the enemy meant for evil.
Come on, I think you have a little bit more than that. I said lift up your faith. Lift up your voice. Come on, somebody with everything inside of you. You're getting ready to come out the other side. You're getting ready to have a breakthrough.
You turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Praise the Lord, church. So very much, Brother Aaron Wright, for blessing our hearts. This is one of those messages that we not only need to get in our hearts, but you need to get in your head. Because the first place the enemy will tell you that you're no good is in your head. And we've talked about this in the past, about driving the enemy out of our minds. As a man thinketh. I want to be a trailblazer today. Amen.
I love traveling out west. One of the things I love most about it is as soon as I can, we have a motorhome that we travel in, and I park the motorhome in a motorhome park somewhere, and I get in an old 1994 Jeep. It's not real pretty, nothing fancy. It's a bit bumpy. And to my wife's demise, or my wife's at time frustrations, I just hit the back roads. And where I end up, we just end up. We ended up this past fall on the top of Hell's Canyon in the Beartooth Wilderness in Montana. You know what I like about that? I like the journey, but I like the view. Because I'm seeing things from a whole different perspective from when you're just traveling down the interstate. And God is pulling us. He's pulling us, church, into a different perspective and giving us a different view. And it's God's view, and it's His perspective. And it's only from there, it's only from there can we look out and oversee. You can see so far. You can see the enemy long before the enemy can see you. That's how God desires His church to move forward. Thank you again, Brother Aaron, so much. To our worship team this morning, Sister Abby, Sister Brittany, Brother Derek, Kim, all you, I love and appreciate. There's nothing like powerful worship that takes you into powerful preaching. And that gives a powerful impact. So as we leave today, God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming. Before we leave, though, many of you probably don't know Brother Ray Borkert. Sits right over kind of in this area. Is Brother Ray here? Brother Ray, could you just have some of the men go gather around Brother Ray? His wife passed away this week. She's been in hospice, and she's been struggling for some time. He has a difficult time ahead of him. And I just want to take and gather around him. And this is what God's body does. We comfort. We step in the time of loss. Lord, I pray for my brother Ray. I pray, Lord, for you would comfort him in this time, the passing of his wife. Lord, I can't imagine what it would be like to go through something like this. But God, I pray that your hand would be upon him. I pray, God, that you would bring peace and would bring comfort. Lord, he doesn't have to go through this alone. I know it's difficult at times to even put into words what we want to say, but I pray, God, that through this loss, God, that you would be with my brother, be with him this week, all the decisions that have to be made. I pray, God, for comfort. I pray, God, for peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you could also just remember Brother Ray this week in prayer, remember Brother and Sister Hawk and the Rossings and Sister Lois and I, as we travel to Texas for Brother Jay Henry's wedding. Sister Raquel will be coming back. She will be joining us here, Calvary Gospel Church. We want to make her welcome when we get back. Once again, thank you, Brother Aaron Wright. God bless you, Calvary Gospel Church. Love you. Appreciate you. Good to see you, Brother and Sister Cleveland. God bless you. See you on Wednesday evening. Brother Simmons will be speaking. God bless.